You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon. Welcome. And it's great to be back on the air at KVOI. You know, I started a broadcast career. I was 15 years of age. 15 years old, I won a Voice of Democracy contest in Independence, Kansas. Got a job at KIND Radio in Independence, Kansas. And now, 62 years later, still on the air. It's all I know how to do. It's all I want to do. And I thank you so much for listening. Welcome to our show from Perfection Auto Work Studios, the John C. Scott Political Forum, for this sixth day of June 2020. With me is Larry Bodine. He is with Broad for Arizona. He is a former journalist with the Daily News in New York City, award-winning journalist. He is a lawyer. He writes for Blog for Arizona. He's just recently been elected president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, recently elected as a delegate to the Democratic National Convention. He is a great guy and our friend, a progressive voice in Arizona, and the Washington Post calls Arizona's Blog for Arizona the best blog in the state. Here's Larry Bodine. Hi, Larry.
Good morning, John. Welcome back. It's so great to have you on the air now.
Thank you for all these things that have happened to you. You're president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. You're elected delegate to the Democratic National Convention. This is a big damn deal. It's big.
Well, thanks very much. You know, my whole effort is basically to elect Joe Biden. You know, we need a change in administration, and I'm doing everything I can. You know, I don't want anything, no stone left unturned, no effort left untaken.
You know, I was listening to the president, as I always do, and this weekend was beyond anything I've ever known. End of the week statement concerning George Floyd in heaven, looking down on him and suggesting that he'd be very happy with the one tick down in the unemployment number. Also, he'd look down and be very happy about the economy. You just can't make this up. We could probably reserve for another show what happens when people die, whether they really look down on us or not, but we don't have time to do that now. I just can't believe that the President of the United States can say something so asinine, so stupid, so absolutely disgusting that it is beyond my words or anybody else's to describe what kind of leadership we do not have. It is beyond anything I've ever known, and I've done this, as I mentioned in our intro, for a long, long time.
Oh, John, you're totally on the money. I mean, Trump's statements recently have just been, they're disgusting. You know, they're disgraceful. And not only do most Americans view him as a disgrace and a failure, but, you know, even in Europe, their German magazine Der Spiegel just came out with a magazine with a cover of Trump, and they call him the fire devil. He's sitting in the White House while the country burns. You know, Trump has completely bungled the pandemic response. You know, he's bungling the economy. He's bungling the response to the protests. I mean, I don't think you could do a worse job if you tried.
You know, Larry, as a Democrat, as a progressive, I'm hopeful that, of course, that the president will be defeated, that Joe Biden will become president. I can't imagine it turning out any differently after what has happened to the presidency and, of course, the Trump failures. But it strikes me as something you just can't take for granted. Here you have Mark Kelly up almost 10 points over Martha McSally in Arizona. Unbelievable. And Trump down 2 points in Arizona. What was it? Bill Clinton was the last Democrat ever to win out of Arizona in a Democratic presidential race. What would tell you that all of the signs that point to an overwhelming Democratic victory in November, would you tell me what do you think?
Well, I mean, it's, I wish we could hold the election today because Mark Kelly is ahead by 13 points against McWhatsername, according to two polls. One of them is Fox News. You know, Fox News is predicting the Democrat will be overwhelmingly elected. And it's the same thing nationwide. Two polls that just came out in the last couple of days show Biden ahead by 10 points or more. And I did some checking, and the average is he's ahead by 7 points in all the polls. And, you know, and that's for good reason. You know, Biden has just offered, a wonderful, calming response, a heartfelt embrace of the peaceful protesters. He's in favor of the Green New Deal. He wants to create a public option for health care. The choice is clear. You can have a terrific president or, somebody who's just going to crawl back under the rocks again.
Well, I ask you about the Democratic National Convention. You've been elected a delegate. I've always admired people who win that, really an honor to select the president nominee of the Democratic Party or Republican Party for that matter. What's going to happen? Where are you going to be? Do you know?
Well, that's a $64,000 question. We just had the entire delegation held a Zoom meeting last Friday. And, we were basically told, buy your plane tickets to Milwaukee. We've got the Radisson Milwaukee Hotel reserved for everybody. So, we're ready to go. And, we're really hoping it'll be an in-person convention that's safe for everybody. But, it remains to be seen. It's whether it'll be live or not has not been decided. And we're just hanging on pins and needles. But I really hope we get to go because, we're advised basically that the day for a delegate starts at 7 a.m. You've got to be there, and then you'll get your sort of instructions for the day. And importantly, you get your credentials at morning. And then someone asks, well, and then when does the day end for delegates? And it ends at about 10 p.m.
Wow, a long day.
Yeah. So the advice I got was, there's going to be no time to see the sights or in my case, go to Mater's restaurant. It's the best German restaurant in Milwaukee.
Really?
Yeah. Milwaukee's famous for, the German culture and the German restaurants. And I might just have to sneak out and go for dinner at Mater's. But we've all been told, bring extra phone chargers, phone batteries, because, you'll be out for 12 hours and your phone is going to run down. And they delegation will be kept in touch with each other by Zoom. And then I was also told, bring an empty suitcase because there'll be so many souvenirs and so much swag that you'll need a second suitcase for it.
And you can hand those down to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. That's how that works. Let me ask you, Larry, this whole idea of the Democrats sweeping perhaps even the Senate, not sweeping it, but perhaps taking control of the Senate, certainly the presidency. How deep does this go? How much down ballot does the Democratic position now against Trump, really, and only against Trump, affect legislative races, even local county races or city races across the country? How much down ballot effect will there be from what looks like a Democrat juggernaut?
It would appear so. From what I detect, from all the meetings that I go to, there's an incredible amount of energy among the Democrats, as witnessed by the fact that in April and May, Democratic precinct committee people called Democrats to get them on the permanent early voting list. That was a huge success. Now we're writing letters to 5,000 non-voters to get them to basically to come out and vote for Biden. And this is coupled with just an overall general revulsion of Trump. So here's an example. In my own neighborhood, I managed to get, I went to a canvass for Biden back in March and managed to get a yard sign. And since then, my neighbors have been knocking on my door saying, do you have a yard sign? Do you have window placards? And so I got a supply of window placards and I've given them all out. It's all you see are Biden signs in my neighborhood. And, it's not because we're a wild left-wing neighborhood. It's just because, these are just ordinary people who just they want Biden. They want Trump to go. It's very deep.
Yeah, and I think it's real. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you underestimated him in 2016. You're going to underestimate him again. I don't think there's any underestimation now. I think that the anger and the animosity toward the president is so deep that nothing's going to change it. Nothing. I think Biden can stumble and gaffe and do all the silly things that we expect him to do. That's who he is. It's not going to make a damn bit of difference. I just don't believe that. Not now. Not after all of this. But no, I could be wrong, and I don't want to be, but I could be.
Well, you know, polls are polls, and, you know, we learned in 2016 how incredibly unreliable they can be. But I'm just going from my, you know, just conversations with fellow Democrats, and I'm even friends with my Republican neighbor across the street, and he's not going to vote for Trump. People are just sick of Trump. They're fed up with the name calling, you know, the blatant lying, you know, saying, oh, the coronavirus will just magically disappear, and the unemployment rate was less than expected, so the economy is doing great. Nobody believes that. You know, there's the facts, and then there's what Trump says.
You know, I have a great lady that lives next door to me in our townhouse complex. She's 86 years old. She's been a Republican all her life. I'm dye-in-the-wool Republican. And she has said to me the other day, she said, John, I just want to live long enough to get a different person in the White House. I mean, 86 and a dye-in-the-wool Republican, and that's her statement. And there's a great many people that are in my neighborhood that have a similar view. Larry, I apologize. I don't have a lot of time because I only have an hour in the show. I wanted people to get to know you as a delegate to the Democratic National Convention, the president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. I want to give you 1 minute. Tell me about the Democrats of Greater Tucson and what you want to do for them as your president, and then I'm going to have to let you go. But please, give me a profile.
Absolutely. Democrats of Greater Tucson meets every Monday at noon, and it's a Zoom meeting. We've been doing those now for 8 weeks straight without any problems. This coming Monday, we have Chris Nanos. He is a Democratic candidate for sheriff, and he is a prior sheriff. And all you need to do is just go to the Democrats of Greater Tucson website, and you can sign up for register to be on the Zoom conference and hear what the candidates have to say. And we've recorded every program. So we have like a stockpile of 8 weeks of wonderful Democratic candidates. And there's more Democratic candidates than ever. And you can listen to them on our YouTube channel and or find out everything you need to know on Democrats of Greater Tucson website.
President of the Greater Tucson Democrats, and of course, a delegate to the Democratic Convention, a lawyer, award-winning journalist for the Daily News in New York, and the voice of Blog for Arizona. Larry Bodine, thanks so much for being with us. We'll get you on and probably have a little more time to talk with you, but I appreciate you being on our initial inaugural show here back on the air. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, John. Congrats on being back on the air.
Great to talk with you, Larry. Thanks so much. Larry Bodine of Blog for Arizona. Washington Post calls it the best blog in the state of Arizona. Republican! Penny White, candidate for recorder, up next on the John C. Scott Political Forum. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum from KVY The Voice. Thanks so much for being with us on this Saturday. Speaking of Penny White, he joins me now. I'm a progressive Democrat, but I support this Republican running for Pima County Recorder. He is a great man, a great American, and probably the best qualified person to run for recorder in a long, long time. And he joins me now. Benny, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join me. Thank you so much. I'm going to cut this up into two pieces, 5 minutes here, and I have to take a break at the bottom of the hour and give you five on the other side, but let's get to it. Let me congratulate you for getting into this race. You're a retired Delta pilot, jet fighter pilot for the Marines in Vietnam. Why this race? So you're retired, you're comfortable. Why do this?
I think we need better elections, John, and I think I can provide them.
Let me ask you this, too. You know the reality of politics. It's very difficult for a Republican to win countywide because of the Democratic registration advantage. How do you overcome that?
Well, I have to get about 90,000 nonpartisans to vote for me. And so I'm reaching out to those communities and telling them about my experience, my qualifications, what I've done in the past, and the voters will decide.
It's about 30% independents, 30% Democrats, 30% Republicans. The Democrats have a larger number in Pima County. But those particular third of the voters that are independents can decide this race, can't they?
they certainly will decide it. It's not only can, will.
You know, you talked about making it easy for people to vote, improving election procedures, and enforcing election laws. Let's take those one, two, three, if you will. Improving election procedures. How would you do that?
Well, John, I've been involved for the last 8 years in the process of revising the Elections Procedures Manual. I've made several hundred recommendations and changes that have been incorporated, but there's still a lot of work to do. There's procedures that are in there that are not followed by election officials in the state. We don't have a good venue for allowing all of the various rural counties to have a seat at the table. A lot of those decisions are made by Maricopa County only, and sometimes those procedures don't work. So I would work with the smaller counties and put the Pima County issues first and foremost to make sure that we get it done the way it works in Pima County, make sure that we do everything legally and transparently so that the voters can have an understanding of what we do.
You know, I want to get into the enforcement of election laws and providing modern recording services. There's a couple of things that I think are key to what people ought to consider when they decide to vote for Pima County Recorder, and I urge them to vote for you. But I have to take a break at the bottom of the hour, and I apologize for breaking up the interview, but it's kind of a mandatory news break. So please stay with me. We'll have plenty of time to talk after the news, and I apologize for the interruption. Will you stay with me?
Sure.
Thank you so much. Benny White, Republican candidate for Pima County Recorder, joins me on the other side of the break at the bottom. KVY The Voice. This is the John C. Scott Show from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum, and with me is Benny White, Republican candidate for Recorder. Benny, we left off with enforcing election laws. What laws are not being enforced, and how does that jeopardize our right to vote?
Well, John, in every election, there are hundreds of people who attempt to vote who are not registered. There are other people who submit false statements when they claim that they live at one residence when they actually live at another residence. There are people who claim to be citizens who have provided no proof of citizenship who attempt to vote. All of those are identifiable. Many hundreds of them are turned over to the county attorney after every election, and there's no prosecution of any of them. I will work with the incoming county attorney to try to address those issues, and if necessary, I'll go to the attorney general and the FBI to enforce those laws.
You also talk about providing modern recording services. What are you talking about there?
Well, some of the people that deal with property issues on a daily basis complain to me that they're not able to get all of the records that they need on a very timely basis, and that some of the records, for some reason, take up to a year to get input into the system after a sale is complete. I want to investigate that and try to find out what we can do with the title companies, with the brokerages, and make sure that those records get in and get incorporated into our record system as quickly as possible.
You know, Benny, I've noted that you were a part of the Pima County Elections Integrity Commission 2008 to 2016, Secretary of State's Election Procedures Committee, Pima County Election Accuracy and Certification Board, and so much more. This is really what you've devoted much of your life to over the last 10 years or more. Do we hold elections that we can trust in Pima County?
Well, when you listen to the public out there, there is a lack of confidence. They're not certain that everything is done legally, and I want to try to improve that confidence by being completely transparent with what we do and what we find, and try to promote the laws that apply.
You know, your background is amazing. You were a fighter pilot for the Marines in Vietnam. And I don't know how many years you flew for Delta Airlines, over three decades, I think, if I'm not mistaken, a long time. How does that qualify you? What do you bring to the table from this rather remarkable past to professional history?
Well, John, flying a fighter or flying a commercial airplane all over the world requires a lot of skill, a lot of ability to incorporate new knowledge, an ability to work with people of all kinds of background, with all kinds of language issues to deal with. I bring that to the table. I understand we have a very, very diverse community here in Pima County in southern Arizona. And I will work with everyone on an equal basis to make sure that their vote is protected, that their voter registration information is secure from outside intrusion.
Let me ask you how people can help you win this election, and what do you have available for them to do to be a part of this?
Well, they need to investigate me. I'm kind of a newcomer. I haven't run for office. I haven't held office before, but I have been involved for a long time. They need to go to my website, which is bennyforrecorder.com. Just spell the words out, B-E-N-N-Y-F-O-R, recorder.com. I update that website frequently with videos and new issue information and events that I'm holding. They can donate money there, which all candidates, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, need. They can also volunteer to help with precinct walks or calling voters, doing whatever they want to do. But the most important thing that everyone can do is find out about me. Make a decision whether you think I'm qualified for office or not. And if so, then talk to your neighbors. Tell them to go to the website, check me out, and then vote for me on August 4th.
Benny, great to talk with you. We'll talk again soon. I appreciate you being on the show today. Good luck to you. Thank you so very much.
Congratulations on getting back on the air, John.
Thank you. It's great to have you with me. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Benny White is a Republican candidate for Pima County Recorder. I'll be back with Matt Hines. He was a congressional candidate. He is now a candidate for the Pima County Board of Supervisors in Supervisor District 2, running against Ramon Valadares. Matt Hines is a physician, one of the most respected in America, worked for the federal government trying to explain Obamacare to literally millions of Americans. He is a remarkably qualified person in this day of a pandemic to be elected to the Board of Supervisors. Dr. Matt Hines, my guest, right after these messages. Speaking of Dr. Matt Hines, he joins me now. Doctor, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join me. Thank you. Let's talk about you as a physician coming to the Board of Supervisors. I find this extremely timely. We never needed a physician more than now in this terrible pandemic. We've never seen times like this, have we, Doctor? It's something that we may never experience again, well, hopefully, but it is something that we've never experienced before.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, unless folks are, you know, over 100 years of age, but this is looking a lot like what we experienced in the Spanish flu pandemic, and we've had other pandemics certainly with regard to influenza and some other things. We saw Ebola back in 2014, but nothing on the scale we're seeing right now. I mean, just the last couple nights in the hospital where I work here, as I've admitted, I think three or four new COVID-19 cases each night, and a few prior to that, it had actually been kind of sort of settling down a bit. And I wasn't seeing nearly as many, but we're seeing a surge right now, and it's it's pretty scary.
What does your background bring to the Board of Supervisors that can help us all with that particular vote on the board?
So I really think it's a good place for having some of that medical expertise, having been in the Obama administration, working for the president in the health department during the Ebola pandemic, assisting with the response, just having some of that public health background and pandemic response background at a time when that is something we really need. I think that. You know, I didn't know at the time, but that really does provide some good experience and background and preparation to help us move forward. So we have everything we need to gradually reopen safely. So we have contact tracing, that we're doing enough testing, viral testing, antibody testing, to make sure that we're doing the surveillance we need to find spikes in the community of the virus flaring, and we can take care of those in a way that's safe so we don't have to close down all over again. And I think that's something I bring to the table.
Well, of course, the responsibility of the county toward health care for all Pima County citizens is something I don't think a lot of people realize. Talk about the relationship of the county and health care to all of us, and the role you might play as a member of the Board of Supervisors because of your knowledge and background.
Yeah, for sure. So the public health department that's in the county, that's within the county there. Of course, this Board of Supervisors oversees that. And the role of the county is actually the kind of the three main roles I see. You have the healthcare side of things, the public health side of things, as we discussed. Then, of course, you have public safety, sheriff's deputies, and you have the court system. So it's one of the main things that the county does. Of course, a large role in infrastructure, road repair and upkeep as well. But you can see that the health aspect of the county is really, really crucial at this time, and making sure that people have the information they need to have about what's going on in the community, where are the new cases, what they need to do, where they can get tested, for example, for the virus if they think they have symptoms, how to connect with the healthcare system, their own primary care providers or others. There's many roles that the county health department plays, and I want to make sure people have that information and that the county board is making the best decisions moving forward, again, making sure that we get through this pandemic safely and so we can get back to working and getting the economy back on its feet.
You're a very successful physician. Why run for the Board of Supervisors? You have a profession, and you're very good at it, and you're well-respected. So why this?
Honestly, John, I was planning to kind of sort of sit this one out. I actually was perfectly fine with just focusing on my work at the hospital, and but I think this took everyone by surprise, myself included. The pandemic and really the federal response, I hesitate to call it a response because it looks nothing like what we did during Ebola as part of the administration. It's night and day. It's just been botched from the very get-go. We still don't have testing. Every day in the hospital, I'm told, "Oh, we're out of tests. Get the send-out tests. Sorry, we don't have rapid tests anymore." Every day, I get that message. So we're still not good on testing. This is unheard of. We're sending our troops into the battle. We have no idea who the enemy is or where they are because we can't test for the virus. So we don't know where to focus our attention and resources. So the pandemic really, again, took me by surprise. And when I did a little bit of research as to, when the federal government fails and its response, the state's response, not really impressive either there. I think we reopened way too early, frankly. Then it falls to the counties. The county is the last best hope of the people here in southern Arizona as they to step up, provide the best advice to make sure that that our nurses, doctors, pharmacists, respiratory therapists have N95 masks and protective equipment, and making sure those hospitals have those and tracking those kinds of things. And then I did a little bit of research about that. I said, this makes a lot of sense. Actually, I think I can provide some help and my medical expertise at the county level, and it's a good time to do that.
Let me go to Ingrid on our phone lines. Ingrid, you're with Dr. Matt Hines, who is a candidate for the Board of Supervisors in Supervisor District 2. Go ahead, Ingrid, your question or comment. Thanks for your call.
Yes. You may have heard that a temperature of 115 degrees or something like that is being used in the new patrol cars for some law enforcement, and it's to be maintained for a certain length of time to kill the virus. Are you aware of that? And what do you think of the following idea? Some time ago, it occurred to me, since the virus doesn't like heat, it may not like to be around hair dryers and the blowers. And I thought, well, why don't we just, zap the areas that we're concerned about with the hair dryers? Is it silly, or do you think there's something to it? I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say, and good luck in your striving for the position. Bye.
Yeah, what about that, Matt?
Thanks, Ingrid. Appreciate the question. So there have been some studies with regard to heat, the virus, not necessarily being a fan, not seeing it. We just don't know enough about it. We're all kind of learning more about this virus because it is new to us, just a few months old. We're also kind of learning a lot about it, and it's not clear that the heat is going to be enough to, kind of suppress things as we've just discussed over the past few days. We're seeing a surge in COVID-19 cases, even though it's also been over 100 degrees here. So that doesn't necessarily it's not a proven concept. So in terms of hair dryer or anything else like that, it's not necessarily true that that's going to be sufficient to kill the virus. What does, though, is hand washing for 20 or more seconds at a time, keeping your hands off of your face, wearing a mask in public everywhere. I do it all the time in the hospital, and I also do it if I'm, you know, getting gas at the gas station or going to the grocery store. It's so important to do that, and all of us really have to. If only half people wear masks, it doesn't matter. But if 80% or more wear masks, we really reduce the amount of water vapor we exhale that kind of floats around in the air around us. That's what carries the virus, and that's why the masks are so, so important. I think it's everyone's patriotic duty to do it, frankly.
Pandemic has killed 110,000 plus, will kill many more before it is over. And now we have tens of thousands of our citizens in the streets of almost every major city. This demonstration in Washington is enormous. This is an enormous group of people making a statement. As a member of the Board of Supervisors, how would you oversee law enforcement? I don't see a problem with our sheriff's department. I don't see a problem with our police department, except in some instances of patrolling during a particular strife. We've seen situations with the Tucson Police Department and the Pima County Sheriff's Department that has literally given us concern. Do you have concerns about our law enforcement? And as a member of the Board of Supervisors, what would you do to protect citizens and their right to protest?
Oh, for sure. This is an amazing time. It is an inconvenient time because we have an ongoing viral pandemic and, you know, the risks of being in a crowd close together, people not wearing masks. We could see a flare in the disease as well. But putting that aside for a moment, I think that you know, Pima County does a pretty good job with the sheriff's deputies. And as a supervisor, I would only have a role in overseeing, there's a sheriff we elect in terms of budgeting, and the supervisors have a role there. But we have, I think, a great overall group of sheriff's deputies, and they are essentially, effectively, almost like a municipal police force themselves, because unincorporated Pima County is, in many cases, urban, and that's about 400,000 people in southern Arizona are in the sheriff's deputies where they would patrol. So it's not a normal situation. Like, usually it's a much more rural situation, and it's the numbers are quite a bit lower. But essentially, because of unincorporated Pima County being so large and so urban and such a large population, the sheriff's deputies are called on to do quite a lot of work, almost like a municipal police department, and that is funded without any additional direct extra sales tax or anything like that. The county is able to fund the deputies, and it's actually for what we're putting in, I think we're getting a pretty good deal. And there's always room for improvement, of course, but I think that we have a pretty good system right now. And in southern Arizona, we tend to do what we can to make sure that people can get out there and demonstrate and protest peacefully, of course, make their voices heard. And that's something that I know that all of us cherish, and I know that our law enforcement want to help that to make sure that it's happening and happening safely. And I think that's something that I will, of course, be supporting and working toward as well.
Well, we're talking with Dr. Matt Hines, who is a Democratic candidate for the Board of Supervisors, District 2. You run against Ramon Valadez, a longtime incumbent. He was a member of the legislature, as you have been. Why challenge him in this primary, Doctor?
Yeah, it's actually, I'm, you know, we're friends. This is not anti any other candidate campaign. I just, actually, I happen to live in District 2 in the county. That's all this is. When I saw the urgent need for some medical, some medical expertise at the county level, sort of look things up, and that just happens to be where I am. So it really isn't a specific issue with any other candidate. And there's also a third candidate running, by the way, that's a three-way Democratic primary and a Republican as well. So I just think it's an important time to have a discussion about public health and making sure that we have that expertise available to the people to help the board make the best decisions it can. Recently, our county administrator has been putting forward some policies I don't agree with, and one of those is not requiring county employees to wear masks. in the workplace, and also being very reticent to accept telecommuting during a pandemic. I absolutely cannot agree with that. I mean, you can't require restaurants to have employees wear their masks at the same time you're telling the county employees that they don't have to. That makes no sense whatsoever. And so I think kind of one of the things I would want to do as soon as possible if elected is to really clarify that, look, it's really simple, doesn't hurt anyone, put a mask on. And if you're going to be coming to work physically as a county, you're going to need to put a mask on too. And that's pretty simple stuff. And we don't have that right now at the county level, and I'm not really clear why that is.
Let me ask you to let people know how they can help you get elected to the Pima County Board of Supervisors in District 2, Matt.
Sure. Check out my website, HeinzForSupervisor.com. That's HeinzForSupervisor.com. And you can read more about me, get involved, volunteer. Everything is like Zoom meeting or phone calls to the district. We, of course, aren't walking door-to-door for public health reasons, but we'd love to have people involved.
Matt, good to talk with you. We'll talk to you again very soon. Good luck in your campaign for the Board of Supervisors District 2. Thank you so much for being on the
show.
John. Thanks for running. Appreciate it.
Sure thing. Have a good one. Bye now.
Dr. Matt Heinz on the John C. Scott Political Forum. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Back on the air. I'm so glad that you decided to join us. Thank you so much. I'd like to thank Larry Bourdain for being with us. He's with Blog for Arizona, delegate to the Democratic National Convention, and president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. I'd like to thank Republican Benny White, who is a candidate for the Pima County Recorder's Office. He is a Republican. And, of course, as we mentioned, Dr. Matt Heinz has been my guest. We'll be here at 3 o'clock every Saturday afternoon talking to the people running for public office in 2020. I thank you so much for being a part of our show. We've done this for a long time, and it's so great to be back talking with you on the air in this very critical time. I want to be a part of it. You do as well, and you are. Thanks for being with us, KVY The Voice. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks for listening.